Well, that one was not pretty to start off this four-game road trip for the Philadelphia 76ers. A blowout by the hands. It was really a blowout. You look at the final score, it wasn't really indicative of how the game really played out. The Sixers reserves came in the end and really fought back. That said, the Sixers dropped game one of the four-game road trip. Welcome to the PHLY Sixers post-game show, along with Derek Bodner, Kyle Newbeck. I'm Devon Givens. Bree is producing. Of course, all of you in the chat hanging out with us on a late night on a Thursday now.
God bless Bree.
Crazy, man. You are crazy.
I got to say, Bree is the real hero of the show because at least we'll always keep each other awake by talking to one another. She's just got to sit there in silence on the other end and hope that she doesn't keel over at the keyboard falling asleep on us. So thank you, Bree, for being with us here tonight.
To be fair, she does not have to sit in silence. She is free to chime in whenever she wants. I trust her opinion on the Sixers way more than I do Kyle's anyway.
Hey, it's all about Ricky tonight. After what we saw, the Sixers down by 20 plus, the Sixers fight back with Jeff Doughton, KJ Martin, Paul Reed, Ricky, Kelly Oubre trying to steal the show because the young guys came in giving them the business on the other side with the starters still on the floor for the Suns. But guys, we talked about it. It's going to be a tough go for them where they could possibly be swept in this entire four-game run here. And while the first quarter was really good, as good as they were, the offensive rebounds by the Phoenix Suns kept them in that first quarter where the score stayed close. And then after that, Grayson Allen couldn't miss, and the Suns just went on a run.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great example of needing to take advantage of your opportunities when you have them. You don't always know when they're going to come. For the Sixers, it was the first, 5-6 minutes of that game, you could say, when Phoenix comes out cold. They were sitting on 1 point for a pretty considerable amount of time to open the quarter. And, you know, they're missing shots. I think I tweeted it out at multiple points. I didn't track it the whole game because the Sixers did shore up the rebounding. The Suns had 7 offensive rebounds on their first 11 missed shots. On their first 18 missed shots, they had 12 offensive rebounds. So they were getting extra possessions regularly. And, you know, it would have been one thing if it was just, you know, Jusuf Nurkić is throwing around Mo Bamba or Paul Reed, but it was the whole team is killing them. Devin Booker matched his career high for offensive rebounds in a game.
Yep.
In the
first quarter. Yeah.
I was going to say in about 8 minutes, probably. Yeah. Royce O'Neal getting offensive rebounds. Yeah. Drew Eubanks throwing in putback dunks. And that allowed Phoenix to sustain well past the point that they should have been able to, right? Like if maybe they win this game anyway, they have a ton of offensive talent. And when Grayson Allen is on a heater like that, what are you going to do? But
I mean, you could try guarding him.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly would help. And I think the most dispiriting thing about that game, other than Tyrese Maxey, who we will certainly get to at some point, was that I did think they came out with the right defensive intensity. I thought the rotations were good early. I mean, we can argue about how good their attention to detail was on the glass, but I at least thought they pursued the ball and they're trying to put themselves in positions. And then there were just points in this game where they let go of the rope and they didn't follow through. And it allowed fairly tight game at different points. They're up or they're down 9, like 6.5 to go in the third quarter. And then they just got an absolute haymaker from Phoenix and had no ability to respond.
I think it was a 17-2 run right after that to end the third quarter. I think the effort defensively, at least in terms of rotations, was fine. The glass is a different matter. I'm not even sure that was so much effort as much as it was just being bullied. Once you get bullied on the glass and get that many extra possessions, once you struggle so much, you know, stopping on the pick and roll, stopping dribble penetration, like there's only so much, and they were just they were reacting all night long, whether it's to those offensive rebounds, whether it's to those dribble penetrations, and the Suns were getting open shot after open shot after open shot. Some of it is shooting variance. Some of it is when you give good shooters like that. And Grayson Allen slept on a little bit. I think he's made 9 3-pointers now 3 or 4 times this year. He is a high volume 3-point shooter. And when you give him open looks like that, he is going to make them.
Yeah, the ball just kept moving. The Suns weren't doing hero ball tonight, and even when Devin Booker and Kevin Durant would just ball fake, get to the free throw line, 17 feet somewhere around there, and when the shots weren't falling earlier, as Kyle, you said, they're sitting on 1 point for a long time. They weren't just settling for the threes. They were taking the closeout, driving on it, getting to the free throw line, and not necessarily going to the basket where you say, they're not aggressively attacking the basket. No, they're just taking what they do. They are elite. Free throw, extended jump shooters where they can hit that mid-range jumper. It says that they can still do that in today's game, and they are very, very good at it. So they did just that. They did what they were supposed to. And then on the offensive glass, it was just about Nurkic being bigger and wanting it more. Well, while you have Mo Bamba, who's technically longer, but he was just putting his body into Mo Bamba. And then when Drew Eubanks came in, Paul Reed is fighting, but there was just not much he could do because the guy just got his hand on it. And as the ball just kept tipping around and finding their way to the Phoenix Suns' hand, when you give them that many opportunities, they are certainly going to score the basketball or have it favorably go in their way, getting to the free throw line or just scoring a basket in general. So that, and once they got that going, really, in the second quarter, overcoming the problems that they had in the first, and Grayson Allen not missing the shots, and you knew exactly what kind of night it was. And then when you guys talked about it, Tyrese Maxey not playing up to the standard he's played over the last couple of games, where he's averaging 30 over the last three, then you're going to have that tough kind of, that difficult kind of night on the road, no less, without Tobias Harris and the other guys not shooting the basketball well either. You knew you were going to get this kind of performance in the end. But look, hats off to the reserves that came in and tried to get them back into the game. And this is what we talked about a lot, where we see this game because of this. This has been the roster. This is who it's been. Nick Nurse maybe going a little bit deeper in the bench from time to time and giving some of those young guys to bring in that energy. It may not be playing 12 minutes, but that 5 minutes could change something overall within the game.
I can't believe it took us 8 minutes to get the Ricky Council on the reserves. What are we even doing here?
I mean, listen, I was waiting for a full segment later. I thought we would lead with how much Tyrese stunk it up tonight, because that's the worst game he's played all season, right?
By far.
I said in the first half, worst half he's played, sort of expecting, he's going to bounce back, right? No, never came. And I think to me, what stood out was that his decision-making was just bad on a lot of those shots in the first half. Like, if you just switch the jerseys and he was wearing the number 9 Kelly Oubre jersey and he was taking some of the shots that Tyrese was in that first half, Derek and I would be sitting here trying to run Kelly out of town for what he was doing. Now, granted, obviously we hold
Phil
Tyrese.
Phil W would be in the chat yelling at us for it.
We hold Tyrese in a little higher esteem around here. And certainly I'm not going to fault him for coming out and playing aggressively, right? Like, that's what they need from him against a team with this much firepower. But there were very few shots. He had one, he beat Bradley Beal. Got to the rim, scored a layup. Nice move on that one. That was a quality look. Aside from that, it just felt like he forced it from basically moment one. It was a lot of those runners and floaters around the paint, but Phoenix felt like did a good job of pushing those out, like an extra foot or two, did a good job of walling him off at the rim, not allowing him to initiate contact to potentially get to the free throw line. They got good contests in. Like, this is not one where you come away saying, he didn't get calls when he went to the rim. Like, I didn't think he deserved to get any calls. I thought the way he played was passive. He allowed Phoenix to win with how they're playing. And then, look, this step back threes, sidestep threes are an inherently difficult low percentage shot, right? When he hits a lot of those, that's a huge credit to him, but you can't go in expecting that every night. Unfortunately, tonight he's taken some that I was like, buddy, you're biting off more than you can chew here. Like, he had one where Kevin Durant is close by, and Kevin Durant is a giant MF-er guarding him, like a lot of wingspan, a lot of height. And Tyrese decides to pull up in his grill. And I was like, dude, what in the world are you thinking right now? Like, you do not have it going. It's one thing if you're already in the midst of a classic Tyrese Maxey avalanche.
Yeah,
go ahead, try to cook this guy that way. But that's in the middle of him already going bad. And so a lot of stuff like that. And then it got so bad that the Suns basically ignored him on a play toward the end of the first half. And Tyrese steps into a three, and he just short-armed the hell out of it. They clanged it off the front of the rim. And to me, that was the moment where I was like, nah, this one's done. Like, he just doesn't have it tonight. It's going to be one of those games. And unfortunately, other than Campaign, who had played well up to that point in the first half, that was basically the only guy up to that point who had it going. So I didn't say this because, you know, I want people to come watch the post game show and have some fun during the game. But in my head, I was like, this fucking game's over. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. What are we doing watching the rest of this game? That was the shot that just crystallized that in my mind.
No, yeah, it was after a while. You're just like, all right, are we just waiting? Can we actually do this show while the game is going on?
Yeah, y'all got it. We're good.
Yeah, because we already know what the outcome was. We can still have the television on and kind of keep an eye on it while we're broadcasting live because, yeah, you just knew after a while that that's what it was. For me with Maxey, too, you're right. He was pressing a little bit early once he didn't have things going. And when they were throwing, I mean, the way that they were just funneling their defense to him, he's seen so much already with the way the teams are going to play him. But for whatever reason, this one got to him a little bit more tonight. They just switched on everything because they're all similar size in terms of Allen, Beal, and Booker. And then when you have Durant and, of course, Nurkic on the back end, it's going to make him work a little bit harder. And you even saw Bradley Beal was engaging on the defensive end where the offense wasn't there for him. He had a block on Kelly Oubre going down. It was Kyle Lowry or Tyrese Maxey. He had a block there. They were just doing everything collectively together where they were in unison and making sure that they knew the game plan. Of course, as always, Tyrese Maxey with no Embiid and certainly no Harris out there is Tyrese Maxey. And that was their game plan to shut him down as best as possible and not let him defeat them tonight. Campaign got it going to keep him in it. You got some good work from others there early. Kelly Oubre with that early seven in the first quarter. But Maxey, again, we're not going to go as far as say he was in his own head the Tobias Harris way, but he was certainly trying to do too much to uplift them and not allow them to fall too deep in a hole when, you know what, honestly, it might have really been out of his control. But had he played a little bit better, there might have been a closer game throughout. And we would have, you know, maybe seen how things happen. Maybe the score would have been just this, but with him playing a much better game like we've seen over the last couple.
Yeah. I mean, look, for the most part, he's going to have off shooting nights. He's going to have off decision-making nights. Like when you are tasked with being really the only reliable offensive focal point against a team with this much firepower, you tend to press. He certainly, I don't think, reacted well to that, but he did just have a string of like four straight games where he was dropping 30 a night and leading them to a couple of wins. So I don't want to react too much to it. But yeah, he sucked tonight, and he sucked on the other end too. He was not good defensively. And even when the Sixers were playing decently defensively, it was more like activity and getting deflections and forcing turnovers. That was really the only thing that kept them close for much of the first half was the fact that they were winning the turnover battle by such a substantial margin. But even so, the point of attack defense was never great, and he was a part of that too.
Yeah, and look, Tyrese has bought himself enough goodwill that when he has a bad game, we don't have to sit here and give him the Tobias treatment, right? I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm tired of this guy, and he's not this, and... You know, I know there was some actually in our diehard Discord, there was a little bit of chatter about are they really going to give him the max this offseason? And, you know, the type of stuff that always bubbles up when Tyrese has a bad game. And look, does Tyrese have weaknesses? Sure. But I think the thing that we repeat quite often on the show that I very much believe is that I'm not super even interested, but mostly concerned about what Tyrese looks like as a number one on a team that is not designed for him to be a number one, that is banged up, that is missing the actual best player on this team, right? Like, he's going to have moments right now as a 23-year-old guard who's not equipped to lead this specific team where he just does not have it or isn't good enough, or teams can scout him well enough that they can stifle him and they can keep him down. that's okay. It's not the end of the world. It's frustrating. All of us didn't stay up until right now. It's almost 12:45 East Coast time, but we don't stay up past midnight on the East Coast to watch these games, talk about them, listen to the podcast, all that, hoping to see that version of Tyrese Maxey, but it's going to happen. And look, I do think there were still some moments tonight. I think when he focused on being a playmaker and a passer.
Yeah, he had a pick and roll bounce pass to, I forget who it was, but it was real nice.
Was it the one to Paul Reed?
Yeah, I think it probably was the short roll. Yep.
Yeah. So some of those plays where Phoenix is sending lots of hedges and showing hard against him, and I thought some of those moments as a playmaker, and then the guys around him, how they responded to that type of 4-on-3 situation that I think they've struggled with, I thought they did a pretty good job out of that stuff, and so. That to me is nice and it's positive because that doesn't always happen. Seeing Paul Reed throw a short roll lob to KJ Martin for a dunk, I was like, I thought I was hallucinating there for a second. And that starts with Tyrese splitting the initial hedge, and that's all well and good. But yeah, just not good. One of those that he'll probably, I don't know if they'll burn the tape. It might be a good lesson for him to just like, hey, rein it in. Bring it on back. Nick Nurse wants him to shoot 20 plus shots a night, and that's all well and good. But when you reach a certain point and you don't have it, you got to figure out other ways. And so it'll be a good teacher for him.
Nice pass and recognition from Paul Reed to throw that lob too, right there in the middle of the floor after that bounce pass.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Which, by the way, have we all seen Paul Reed's tweet from the game? Mm-hmm. For anybody who happened to miss it or isn't on Twitter, Paul Reed, and this was like, he must have went to his locker and just like, I got to say something, because it was immediately after the game. He pulls out his phone and says, I played like shit. That was Paul Reed's assessment of, I didn't even think he was like, look, none of them were all that good, but yeah. I don't think it was worth that much of a reaction from Paul.
I like him taking accountability though. Yeah.
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 For sure. Yeah. You know who else has to take accountability? Me for smoking all of Devon's best laid transitions for ad reads. As I settle in to tell you about our good friends, Coors Light. Guys from
he does like to go out of order, though. Like, you got to call him out on that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Accountability matters.
When you have big annoyances or little annoyances in your life, I don't know what watching that Sixers game qualifies as. For me, it's a little annoyance. For you, it might be a gigantic one. But we can all get worked up. There is a better way and a chiller way. Take it from me, the guy who never chooses chill. The best way to choose chill is by reaching for an ice-cold Coors Light. Because with Coors Light, you know you're getting an ice-cold beer when the mountains turn blue on the bottles and cans as they hit that perfect temperature. I keep telling all of you, and I keep telling Devon and Derek, getting out of here in a few days. Who knows if I'll ever come back, going on vacation. The one thing I know that I can count on while you guys are suffering through the rest of this West Coast road trip is that when I go to the bar by the beach in the Dominican, I'm going to look for those blue mountains because I know the Coors Light will be ice cold as soon as it gets to my hand, and it'll be cold layered, cold filtered, cold packaged for a smooth finish. Mountain cold refreshment, no matter where you're at, no matter what your state of mind is. When you choose to rise above it all and choose chill, you got to choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYBasketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
And when you choose chill and decide not to pull your hair out because of the annoyances, as Kyle talked about there at the top of the read, sometimes it can be some annoying parts of things when you're looking for a home. You're trying to figure out what to do with your finances to get everything ready to look for that new home that you're trying to acquire for yourself, your family. And you don't want to sit there again and start pulling your hair out. You want everything to be pretty smooth, right? Well, I have the place for you, and that's from our good friends from Mortgage CS. I was talking to the guys about this recently, about possibly looking for something new for myself and my family, and Mortgage CS right on time, because they are great people that we, of course, teamed up with here. And as we talk about great people, it has to be first with Ben and Alec, and we'll get to them in a little bit later. But Mortgage CF offers refinancing options for folks already into their home and looking to change things up, make things, again, a little bit easier on themselves. And if you're a first-time buyer, and you're looking for a place to go, Mortgage CS is the right place. The spring purchase market is almost here and is heating up very quickly, folks. And many clients, including first-time home buyers, are really starting to reach out and find out what needs to be done to be ready when the rates drop. Hopefully that's soon for everybody looking to purchase a home. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to get something by April, May, or even June. You can start to plan out a little bit further into the calendar year to position yourself when you are ready to buy that home for you and your family. Mortgage CS stands for Mortgage Concierge Service. That's why the guys, they give you white glove service. They're there for you whenever you need them, day or night, no matter what, 24/7, the guys make themselves available. It's an independent mortgage broker based right here in Philadelphia. Gives you the full control, again, of the lenders they work with, about 24/7 service. As mentioned, Mortgage CS is licensed coast to coast, California, Colorado, DC, Delaware, Florida, Maryland, New Jersey, PA, South Carolina, Virginia, and Washington. They're all, if you have folks in those states and you want to hook them up with a great place to connect with for their home buying purchase, of course, send them there. They are there to educate and empower their clients whenever need be. Also, exceptional customer service, as we talked about, 24/7 with the two owners, Alec and Ben. Tons of easy to use tools to make the mortgage process more approachable overall. When you hear the word mortgage, think of Mortgage CS, think of Ben and Alec, and save Ben's telephone number. How cool is this? Ben, sports fan that he is, wants to give you his telephone number. You might want to text him about what the game was tonight. Text him late at night. Wake him up and talk about the Sixers and the Suns. And he might be mad because he was just as ticked off watching the game as you were. But here is the number, 267-391-7425. Don't text him. Not tonight. Wait till tomorrow and you can talk about and revisit the game. Email Ben at ben@mortgagecs.com. Call, text Ben. Again, anytime, day or night, talk Philly sports. Check out mortgagecs.com/Philly to get started, folks.
All right. So do we want to go to...
That was a mouthful.
It's a lot, man. Try to get everybody situated to get do that
we,
house.
Do we want to go to Ricky? Do we want to go to Super Chats? Or do we want to go to Embiid Update?
Well, so I was going to say, I think Jake M has a Maxi related super chat. If we want to throw that one up on the board, Jake said, it's one thing to miss shots, but Maxi's days of flopping for calls and shooting over two defenders should be by him. Get to your spots like against Miami. So I will definitely, I'll push back on the flopping for calls thing. Yeah. I didn't see that. The shooting over two defenders thing, that I think is probably more in the realm of what we've already criticized him for tonight. But yeah, I didn't think this was a, it's normally to me pretty obvious when Tyrese is like, he throws his hands up and he's looking at the official. Like, he doesn't exactly hide it. I didn't see a ton of that tonight. If anything, I thought the frustration appeared to be internal and directed at himself when it showed up, but I don't know. We're all trying to read body language from afar. So maybe
I wouldn't even consider that flopping. I would think that after 4 years in the league, they see what type of player that he is, the way he attacks aggressively. He gets hit. He's fast. He gets gets the body contact. And of course, those guys don't necessarily always know how to defend it and try to swipe at the ball, knock it away, block it, jump, stand still, try to block it, or whatever it might be. And then you factor in that he's now an all-star where he feels like he's deserving of those calls when he does, in fact, get hit, all-star or not. So I wouldn't say that's the flopping, the shooting over the defenders, trying to do too much there tonight. That was definitely there. But the flopping part, I didn't see it either.
This is very random. Did you guys see the James Harden contest on the Kawhi corner three?
I did.
What the hell was going through his mind? So the Clippers are up 21 in the third quarter. James Harden kicks it out to Kawhi in the corner, and then he runs out and contests. And there's like no other way to read what he's doing. He just ran out and contested his own player's shot.
He had to have a brain fart, man.
But he passed it to him. He passed it to Kawhi.
There's no other explanation. He had a brain.
I
got to
see if I can pull this up somewhere.
I don't know. He had to have a brain fart because then you see Kawhi's reaction like, yo, what were you doing, man? Yeah,
it was not great. At one point, I was thinking like maybe he was just screwing around because they're up 21, but it was like midway through the third quarter. There was plenty of time to make a comeback. You don't screw around with 18 minutes left. One of the wildest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and Kawhi's reaction is funny. So, yeah, go check
it out. I'm sorry, when you were going through that Mortgage CS ad read, I was just watching his play on repeat over and over and over again. It blew my mind. It blew my mind.
No worries. No worries. Yeah. All right. That's while Kyle searches for that one. Kyle, you got to find it. It is.
I mean, Harden created two open corner threes and contested one in the same possession. Just an unbelievable sequence. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's go to Davon, a.k.a. Schoolboy Beats, with his super chat. Maxi has to work on footwork, reactive dribbling. It's definitely a lot of trainer drill, choreograph stuff. Let go of Drew Hanlon, try Brandon Payne. Drew Hanlon has helped produce a bunch of all-stars. I don't think that's a problem. He just really, you know, Davon just trying to help hone his skills. And I don't think that's a problem. He was working with him before the Miami game, and he dropped another 30 plus. So I don't think Drew Hanlon is the problem there.
And a lot of all-stars who have drastically improved their handles too. Like, go back and watch Tatum in college and watch him now. He's a completely different player. I think this is one game, and Kyle brought it up because of the conversation that was going on in the Discord. There are some people who just don't 100% believe in Tyrese Maxey, and I get that. Like, when you start talking about giving out max contracts, now 25% max is different than a 35% max, yada, yada, yada. We don't need to really get into it, but I understand some skepticism. That being said, we don't need to really question. He just dropped 30 in a row, like four times in a row.
He led them
to two wins. He had a tough night. He's not perfect. None of us necessarily expect him to be a number one option. He's filling into a role that he's not ill-suited for, a role that is asking a little bit too much of him, both in terms of his current skill set and his experience as a player. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. He'll have a better game against one of these LA teams. He'll be fine.
It's the expectations high because of the precedent he has set with those 30-point games, and certainly the level he plays at when he plays with Joel Embiid, because that, again, I hate to default to this. Derek is just chuckling his ass.
The Harden thing just has me going. It's way too late. I'm barely awake as it is, and this is the only thing keeping me awake.
So I get it. The bar should be high, and with the big payday coming, people are right to think about and be concerned with on some level, like for the same reason we bring up with Tobias Harris, right? He's going to take up a huge percentage of the cap, and so the expectations will change, even though he is the same guy. Derek, would you just like turn your camera off or something?
I mean, I muted myself this time.
Just like smirking and smiling to the distance, and I was trying to, and then you started talking about it again just now. I was on track.
I was ramping up towards being a normal podcast host again.
Everybody's ramping up around here. We'll talk about the ramp up in a minute, I suppose. Anyway, I don't even know what point I'm trying to make here. It's mostly just that I trust Tyrese in the role that he's meant to play on this team. And when he has an odd bad game like this, we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, I feel like every time we get declarative with Tyrese is when two games later he's just good at something now. Like, it was, oh man, Tyrese is really stinking it up defensively, and then has a good game. Or, man, Tyrese has been struggling from the mid-range, has that game against Miami where he hits a bunch of mid-range shots, and it's something he works on quite often. So I'm not gonna overreact to basically anything with him. He's one where it's like, let's see what he's got in the playoffs, right? And in a positive way. It isn't like where it's gotten to with Joel, right? Where it's either you produce in the playoffs or screw you, your legacy's tarnished forever. It's more of like, okay, Tyrese, now's going to be your first opportunity to be the lead perimeter guy in the playoffs. How do your weaknesses manifest? How do you handle the doubles, the pressure, the blitzes, all that. And people are certainly within their right to be concerned, but I'm intrigued. I want to see it. I'm very excited to see how we get there and what it looks like.
Yeah. And Davon just dropped another super chat. Since we are talking about Tyrese, might as well bring it up now. He mentions that a lot of Drew Hanlon guys are forwards and bigs. Well, the first Drew Hanlon guy was Brad Beal, which you saw today. And look, Bradley Beal is an imperfect player on a terrible contract, and I've generally been a skeptic of him for a long time. That being said, he has improved a lot over the course of his career from when he came in to where he is now. So Drew Hanlon has had a lot of success with a lot of different clients. Before he had Joel Embiid, you would have said, oh, he hasn't done anything ever with a big man either. And now he's done something with a big man. I think he has a pretty proven track record.
I just saw the Harden clip.
It's crazy, right? Now you understand why I just randomly started laughing multiple times.
What the fuck was he doing? Oh my God. He just lost his goddamn mind.
It's like, I forget who mentioned in the chat, but it's like a video game glitch.
Matthew McFarland
just said it. Yeah. Oh my God. That's so good. Let's just say that's what happened with Tyrese, though. He had a video game glitch tonight. Whatever. Who cares?
Well,
I'm telling you, in 5 minutes, you're going to randomly laugh and you will 100% understand where I was coming from. Aaron brings it up. That might be the hardest Harden closeout we've seen in years.
That's the only Harden closeout I've seen in years.
He had to be. He either had a, like you said, a glitch, or he was just messing around. I don't know. I can't explain it.
I might give him the benefit of the doubt and say he was messing around, but it was a close game at the time, wasn't it?
No, it was pretty. I think it was a pretty wide open game. But like I said, there were still 18 minutes left. So.
He's messing around then.
No, I don't think he's messing around with 18 minutes left.
We'll see what he says, I guess. Anyway, you know who doesn't mess around when it comes to their product? That's our good friends at Bagels & Co., who offer huge Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in the city of Philadelphia. I eat them several days a week, and Bagels & Co. offers quite a bit of variety, around 15 to 20 different types of bagels that rotate seasonally. St. Patrick's Day, unfortunately, is behind us, so probably no green bagels anymore. But we do have Easter. We got some patriotic holidays over the summer. Got all kinds of things that they're cooking up for you guys each and every day. And if you're a cream cheese guy or gal, I certainly am, they offer 30 different flavors of cream cheese that rotate throughout the year. Bagels & Co. also does themed cream cheeses for all the local sports teams, including the Sixers. Although I can't say, hate to say it, Bagels & Co., I would not buy a Sixers-themed cream cheese after that game. Don't want to look at it after after that performance. Maybe I'd hit the Eagles, Flyers, perhaps the Phillies. Just as important as that variety they give you is the affordability. Bagels & Co. has kept their prices down as inflation keeps punishing all of us. So you can be an everyday customer at any of their stores, not just someone who comes in for a weekend splurge. They even offer premium coffee at a superior price to most national brands and chains. What's not to love about that? So for the best Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in Philadelphia, head to www.thebagelsandco.com/store-locator to find the closest Bagels & Co. near you.
Starting to get the giggles right before my ad read. All right, I got to shaping up, Derek. We got to get through this. All right. We also want to make sure, as James Harden just showed us, you could see anything when you get a ticket to go to an NBA game. You're going to want to make sure you see there because you never know what's going to happen. Absolutely no idea. Buying tickets to your favorite event shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. With Game Time, they have deals right up to the day of the event. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. With Game Time, you get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. And you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds. Two taps and you're set. With tickets sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHLY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
You might be able Harden to see James Harden used... close out.
I was going to say, if Harden had used Game Time, he would have been able to see his seat view before the game, and he wouldn't have closed out on Kawhi like that.
It's honestly one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Is he going to do that against the Sixers on Sunday? That'd be cool.
If we get a single closeout like that, I'd be shocked, let alone him closing out on Kawhi like that. Should this be the honorary Ricky Council the Fourth segment of the show?
Let's do it. Now? Yeah, let's do it.
Because we were talking right before the show started, and Derek was like, there's at least a few moments that could be the moment of the night, and he named them, and he didn't even name the reverse dunk. He forgot about the dunk that he threw down. And granted, you know, uncontested, all that. I just love the thing that was so great.
KD had no interest in going up for a block on that when they're up 16 or whatever.
Yeah. I was going to say, they're winning pretty comfortably still. And Ricky's like, you know what? We're down in a blowout. I'm still going for style points. I don't give a shit. And so I really appreciated that. Now, granted, to the point that Derek was making before we came on, the other stuff is probably more important, right? The 30-foot three with what, like 17, 18 seconds on the shot clock? That one took me out. I was like, just squinting my eyes, like, what the hell just happened?
And then I think it took Kyle Lowry out, too. I think Kyle made that pass. He's like, whoa, I didn't expect you to do that. It worked.
Ricky does not lack for confidence. I will say that about him. And then certainly, this is not like a, does it really matter? No. But I loved seeing him trash talking KD. That was, so I don't know if you guys had your favorite moment of the night. To me, it was him trash talking KD. Because I was like, you know what? That's the type of MF-er mentality this team needs. And it's why I would like to see him play more. They just need some fight, some dog, some toughness on the floor.
Also, he might have gotten a loose rebound or two in the first half when nobody on the freaking team did.
Well, I thought it was cool him trash talking KD while wearing his sneakers, by the way, his signature KD 16s, wearing those. And I also was like, okay, cool. This is the other cool Ricky part. Jeff Doughton drove to the basket. After a few times, I felt like Jeff Doughton looked them off. So he got knocked to the floor. It was a foul. He went to the free throw line. Jeff Doughton did. Ricky just kept walking. Didn't help him up. Now, normally you want to see your teammates help him up, but it was like Rick was probably pissed that he didn't give him the ball a couple of times when he was going to the basket because he did have it rolling. But yeah, man, I wasn't sure if it was too late. You know, it was a blowout, even though they did close the gap. He scored 12 points in 12 minutes, 4 for 5, and he hit that three, had that reverse dunk. I wasn't sure if it was too late for us to be yelling, go get him, Rick, with the neighbors and all, waking everybody up with the go get him, Rick. But it was good to see him back out there on the floor. And maybe, just maybe, to your point, Derek, we've been saying this plenty of times because there have been stretches over a number of these games where the energy has been lacking. And you say, okay, yes, he keeps bringing KJ Martin in. It's no knock on KJ Martin at all. It's just more of Ricky brings a different type of energy. And especially when he's able to put the ball on the floor where KJ Martin looks like, you know, one of the still learning how to dribble a little bit sometimes. But that's why we ask for him. Yes, we have fun with it, but it seems like he brings a different type of energy to the game. I like KJ Martin too, but I would like to see Ricky out there on the floor a little bit more. Go get him, Rick.
And we did have, I was going to say, Zhao Pedro said in his super chat, it was worthy to be up so late just for Rick's dunk.
If we were together watching the game like we do, I would have, whoa, Rick.
Yes. That would have definitely been so I will say none of us wanted to be driving home at, you know, 1:30 in the morning or whatever. Being in the studio for that dunk would have made it more fun because I don't want to wake anybody up in my house or my neighbors. Yeah. But we could have yelled to our heart's content about that one. Would have been fun.
Yes, indeed.
No, I got an hour drive. I'm not with you on that one.
I still think it's better that we did the show here, but yes, that would have been a nice, fun moment on a night where there were not a whole lot of nice, fun moments for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah. Hopefully we see a little bit more. You know he's going to show out in Los Angeles. You know he's going to show out. If he gets out there on the floor, you think he's trying to reverse dunk in Phoenix on a Thursday night, what's he going to do? I mean, on a Wednesday night, what's he going to do on a Friday night in Los Angeles? Yeah, he's going to try to show off against the Lakers. He's trash talking Kevin Durant. He's going to trash talk LeBron James. No question about it.
He's got to play to be able to trash talk LeBron. So
I mean, look, we've
had Paul Reed trash talk Giannis, so you never know. You never know.
That's up to the head coach to put him in the game.
Yeah, we've gotten a little bit of scuttlebutt in the chat and on Twitter just about, hey, why isn't Nurse playing him? I think it's as simple as, from what I can tell, he thinks KJ is ahead of him for those minutes. To your point that you made, Devon, I do think that they should be viewed as pretty different guys in terms of what they're doing for the rotation. I don't think it should be mutually exclusive because KJ is effectively playing as a big on offense, right? He's sitting in the dunker spot. He's screening and rolling. Whereas Ricky is spotting up, he's attacking guys off the dribble, he's slashing, he's doing things that KJ can't or doesn't do. So I don't know. Like I would love to see someone who rebounds the ball with two hands on the floor. It's my biggest pet peeve that these guys just are like, ooh, waving
Kelly Oubre.
waving an arm in the air. You know, at least Kelly will go up and get it.
No, he goes up there and get him, but he likes to cuff it when he goes up there and get it with one hand and just leave it there. Yeah.
Yeah. But the worst one is when he just waves the one hand, or when someone waves the one hand and they don't move off the ground in the first place. At least Kelly is jumping. So I'll give him that. Frankly, he jumps into his teammates a little too often, so that's not great. But, you know, what are you going to do?
All right.
Let's see. What do we have left here? We have one more from Davon.
He says, what game is worse, Christmas versus the Heat or this game?
Well, this one, because I'm working this one. I had off the Christmas Day one, so yeah.
I feel like Davon and I actually had a pretty good time after that Heat game. I don't know if it's because we were just like in a mode where we're like, if we're going to work on Christmas, there's no sense in being miserable about it.
Also, you got to work without me, so that has to boost your spirits too.
Nah, I don't know. Like, that game sucked. But this one, if he's referring to Tyrese, I think this game is worse.
Yeah, he is.
I think this one's worse. That's damning with, what's the opposite of damning with faint praise?
Buddy, it's It is 1:10 a.m. I got nothing.
Right, so whatever that is, that's what I would do to say this one is worse. Let's just say it wasn't exactly a high bar to clear. I think everyone probably needs to go to sleep fairly soon, and maybe I'll regain my command of the English language tomorrow.
Well,
but
to that point,
no guarantees.
Coach Joel Ricketts says, can we discuss the Embiid update so he can go to sleep afterwards? I agree 100%. Yeah. And Kyle, when you start doing the read off of people who showed up, I am closing my microphone and turning off my camera. I'm going to bed. I'm done.
No, you got to hit the bell.
Close a microphone? What are you talking about?
Well, I actually have I have a mute button.
All right.
Anyway.
It is 1:12 a.m. Shut up. Don't give me any grief. I'm done.
Okay, Joel. Nick Nurse basically said a different variation of what he said the other day, which is that Joel's doing on-court work. He is ramping up. And the question now is, okay, when can he get on the floor to do this step, this step, this step, this step? And I think all of us would probably continue to say, we don't know what the timeline is. The team continues to say, We're still optimistic. We think he's going to play, yada, yada, yada. But beyond that, not a whole lot of information. I think what I would take from the last few days of updates is that Joel's going to tell everyone when he's ready to play, and that's going to pretty much be that.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Really, this wasn't too much of a different update from Nick Nurse, except he used the phrase ramp up, which I think gets everyone's Spidey sense going, because it sounds closer than he's doing on-court non-contact work, even though he's doing not on-court non-contact work. Like, it hasn't really changed. I think the other key, if there was a meaty part to the update, it's that Nick Nurse said that he's doing basketball work pretty much every day, which certainly sounds good. We don't know how long that ramp is going to be, but doing basketball work regularly at least is a couple steps onto that ramp. That's about all we have.
That's a good thing.
Is that it, fellas?
The ramp.
And the French national team is ticked off that he chose Team USA. There's that.
Yeah, we can get into that another day.
Yeah. Well, just wanted to squeeze that.
Is that new news?
No.
There was a report on The Athletic. I forget who wrote it, but there was a report.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sour grapes, basically.
Oh, wow. A place that Joel has never lived and has no real ties to beyond his family there. Like, I get it, but he fucking lives in America and he's from Cameroon. Honestly, playing for France would have been the lamest. Anyway, we'll do this another night. I want to say thank you to all our wonderful people who are here with
hanging out with us.
And with Bree. There goes Derek. He said, I'm done. Thank you to Kane, Matthew, Jay the Jungle, A.A. Ron, Money Mar, Coach.
What up, Aaron?
Jazz, Spiral Out, 2 minute warning. Our guy Al still
here. What up, Al?
One whatever in the morning. Brian Knight. Who else? Iroh. Let's see. Who else? The best chatters, the biggest chatters, spam it. Trons, we got Devon in there. Oh my God.
Anyway, I'm in there.
Front running fan base, Jay of the Jungle, of course. Davon, all our other super chatters. My girl Winona.
What up, Winona? Hanging out with us.
Hello, Winona. Good to see you. Trons. Anyway, sorry, guys. I'm not getting too many tonight. It's 1:14 in the morning. You all know I love y'all. If you could, on the way out, hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell icon so you get notifications each and every time we go live. And hit the thumbs up button because maybe Derek will return from his self-imposed exodus on the next show if you do.
And we're off on Thursday, so don't look for us on Thursday. We'll be back post-game Lakers-Sixers.
Yes, we will. So have a good night, everybody. Have a nice off day from the Sixers tomorrow. Get some fresh air. Ignore basketball. We'll be back Friday night. See you then.
Get some rest.
We all silly like the mayor.